I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mate,
very
right?
Good, thank you. How are you, PT?
I'm good. Just ordered a poke salad from Deliveroo.
What's
it arrived, and I didn't have a spoon or a knife or anything, so I had to make a fork out of a piece of cardboard.
There's been very little that's good that's come out of the pandemic, is it? Unless you run a fast food company, whereby you've had loads and loads of, you know, new orders.
Yes.
I think up by 60% was the latest figure I read.
Wow.
But you've also got a thing of going, oh yeah, because of pandemic,
you can't
no more cutlery.
Yeah, no more cutlery.
No more cutlery. That'll save me 0.01p for everything. Oh, and do you know what they're going to do? They're going to use an Oyster card.
That's what I should have used. I should have used me blummin' driving thingy or something.
You were making a spoon.
Nuts. Yeah, it wasn't great.
How did you go about it?
I could pick up the mango. I could pick up the fried onions.
Mm.
Couldn't pick up the rice with it though. The sushi rice too sticky.
Too sticky.
Too sticky, Mark.
Too sticky.
Nightmare.
You need two sticks because that's basically, you know, most of the world eats their rice in that fashion.
Why didn't I just use two pencils? Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Why isn't there a bloody pencil in
it? Buy a fork and spoon. Carry them around in a little, like, you know, packet thing in the same way.
Like really posh heroin addicts or cocaine
abusers. Exactly that. I think, you know, you get your phone, you get your keys, you get your wallet, you got your full dining set, picnic hamper. Sad news.
Whoa.
Hey, last ever WrestleMania
day two.
If they'd made more WrestleManias, we could carry on.
Yeah.
The problem is they haven't.
Don't fucking blame us.
I feel sorry for that. Remember when we first started, within a couple of weeks of starting, another wrestling podcast started.
Right.
Where they went, we're going to be reviewing all of the WrestleManias.
Backwards.
But they did it backwards. They started with the most recent one and then worked it back.
They had a definite time limit because they could, like, they would have to have finished at a certain time. We could have kept going if they'd have upped the number of WrestleManias they did.
We are open-ended.
Yeah.
We are now going to be travelling alongside WrestleMania. they are very much, we boxed ourselves in 40 years ago.
Exactly,
and we're locked in this.
Yeah.
Unless they start finding old WrestleManias from like 84 and 83, they really are stuffed. But I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know, I'd like to go back and listen to that now. I feel I'm ready.
What, to listen to what they did?
Now we've
compared
won.
To what,
yeah.
Now we saw them off. You never hear about them anymore. It wasn't Muddied Knees or something, was it?
Yeah, that's guys? Right. I think it was one of theirs. It was a, I would argue, a slightly sort of, you know, contemptuous attempt at bandwagoning and also derailing us. I mean, it's a long time ago. Still very
still
angry.
Hurts. Still very
angry.
Still hurts.
Welcome. We are going to be doing our final WrestleMania today. It is WrestleMania 37, Night 2. How did you feel watching it? Did you feel deeply emotional that the WrestleMe main journey is coming to an end?
I was up until the Fiend match.
Then, the first match.
Yeah. So America the Beautiful was quite emotional for me, and then I watched that and I was like, I'm willing to close the book now.
Yeah. I looked at it and I thought, it's a shame that the WWE haven't marked this in some way. I think it's a real shame that they've been quite so childish.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
I mean, we've made their products a lot more popular. this is not for me a fondly remembered WrestleMania night, because when I watched it only back in April, it was too much wrestling. So
yes, you've only had one day.
Yeah, and, right. and I think this year the WrestleMania takeover was after it. Mm. And by the time I was in the middle of this one, I was like, I've just had too much. I've had
too much wrestling.
Too much wrestling.
Too much wrestling, mummy.
They said it was not possible, but it really has been. it was too much. This is a really, really bad memory for me, the whole thing.
Right.
I didn't remember there being one good match apart from the main event. Mm. And watching it back, there's loads of good matches.
Yeah.
It's actually better than night one, I reckon. Mm. And it just, I've been poisoned against it, Pete. Poisoned.
Why? Because of The Fiend? Or just because of your memories? Or just too much wrestling?
Too much wrestling.
Yeah, it's just wrestling fatigue makes you think that the wrestling is bad.
Do you get footballed out?
Yes. Well, World Cup almost straight into the Premier League was a bit much. Mm. Like the Charity Shield seems to arrive like just after the final. Like how is anybody getting a rest? But these footballers have to play football.
At least you get a little bit of break, don't you?
You do get that point where they go,
let's put it all down.
Let's put it all down for a week.
Yeah, everyone settle down. Yeah. Stop being so het up. And then we can pick it up again around Christmas time, which
yeah,
is fun.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
A nice way of doing it. Yeah. I am more and more as I get older. I do believe that wrestling should take a break every now and then.
What, like it's kind of like an off-season sort of thing?
Yeah.
But then they start doing the Saudi Arabia shows. Like they always say about the Premier League, there should be a Christmas break. Mm. But you know for a fact, as soon as they do a Christmas break, there will be a situation where teams are taking their teams to go and play in China or play in Saudi Arabia or places like that.
And I say that, and the reality is, if there was, say, a month-long break, that would be the month where I'd be like, oh, I'd really like to see some wrestling. So you can't listen to me. I'm not going to get it right.
No.
This opens up with the then, now, and forever traditional WWE opener.
Yes.
I noticed on this, they've since adapted it, and this changes quite a lot as people fall in and out of favour. So the last really big revision they did was to incorporate more and more wrestlers of colour from the past who previously had not been represented within that at all.
Yeah.
So you begin seeing people like Ernie Ladd and they take out other people as well. So you'll drop people who are involved in scandals. This one still has, and they obviously don't go back and then retrocon them. Or retcon them, is that right?
Retcon them? Retro commentate them?
Yeah. What they've done on this one, when it comes up, is you get Ric Flair in it going, woo!
Yes.
And that is very much a case of, you know, that has changed now. Mm. Ric Flair no longer features in the opener to WWE stuff. And that was a bit of a, you could sort of see how, like when Hogan comes out in this, you sort of go, oh, you know, maybe this is literally then, now, and forever.
Yes.
That Ric Flair is now going to be on the outside.
But Hogan has been enough water under the bridge. And it's interesting because when Flair left, didn't he? Probably about a month or a month and a half ago. And the narrative wasn't about what was going to come out or what was going to be a court case.
Yeah, part in of Dark Side of the Ring, the documentary series.
Okay,
yeah.
Right. So it seems to be that was the catalyst to lose Flair.
Well, a lot of people had been fired around that time, and it did seem that things like AEW gave better use of Ric Flair personally. So he was like, well, I can go and do that. Mm. The thing about leaving WWE, if you go into AEW or you go to Impact, you have the ability to really monetize what you do.
Yes.
Because there are no barriers to you doing that. The only barrier you can't go is WWE. Exactly, yeah. And Ric Flair could then just go, right, I'm going to do autograph signings all day long. Yeah. I'm going to go and do an interview, shoot interview on stage. And, you know, you can do all that. And I think when you get to Ric Flair's age, there's only a limited amount of things the WWE are actually going to do with you.
Yes.
They had put him in this strange storyline with Lacey Evans, where he was a much older sort of man who had basically made her pregnant. I mean, you look at that and you go, thank God. They must be crossing themselves. They go, thank God the Dark Side of the Ring didn't come out that week when we were running that, because that is a perfect storyline. Mm. But it is a funny one, because you see with Hulk Hogan in this, you see that even when the WWE decide that you have had long enough and you have paid your sin tax,
the crowd can be an
entirely different judge. And it is a really, really rough night from Hulk Hogan.
Oh, it is. And obviously Titus O'Neil and Hulk, they're now dressed like pirates on day two.
Should have been dressed as that from day one.
You're going to do it on the first
day. Look great as well.
Yeah, they
look great, really, really good. And why you wouldn't go, it's the pirate theme. so let's introduce it on day two. No, yeah. Do it on day one, you stupid idiot.
Well, the difference between day one and day two for the intro, they don't recut a new one.
They don't sort of like judge it up
or anything. No. They just do the same thing. And then Tyson Hill and Hulk address the pilots and pirates. And you're right, they are cheering at weird places, the crowd.
You
can tell that Hulk is getting booed.
Yeah.
And you can tell that Hulk is prepared for it this time because he does a bit more facial work and he's kind of gone through it a little bit.
His eyes scramble at points where they go, there's a point where he sort of comes out and he's going, wow, like this is the, I think there's something like 18,000 people there.
Oh, wow.
Hogan has wrestled in front of much, much bigger crowds than that.
And he's in really North Korea. Yeah,
in Canada and yeah. In America. Yes. And he's looking at this and there's a point where he gets to do his first line and it's the witless, he's supposed to presumably say yo ho ho brothers, and instead he says yo yo brothers. Pirates don't say yo yo.
Unhelpful.
Yeah. But the crowd really jeer him there.
Yeah.
And you can see in his eyes, he's just going, what's happening here? Why are they booing me now? Why are they booing me now?
They don't know it's, I can't believe they know it's me. I'm Pirate Hulk Hogan. Different character.
It's the first time you've ever seen him in a segment where he's not trying to dominate it, but he's literally just trying to disappear and just sort of go, here I am just helping out. Please don't mind me. I don't want any of the big plaudits because they come clearly with a lot of the big negatives. But you're absolutely right. They start this in the same way as they have the night before. There's a different person doing America the Beautiful. That is the new voice of country music, Ashland Kraft.
Sounds like a shop.
It does sound like a shop.
And instead of, there's no thrusting from Otis this time, I noticed.
No.
He's not kind of thrusting and really giving it some. I'm now, the more I see Otis, the more I think he's like a big fat Limmy. His facials are kind of similar to Limmy.
They are.
And I can't stop thinking about it now.
They are. He's got that quite blank, slightly sort of brilliantly dead-eyed look. They do all stand there like primary school children through this. But this is not a good booking. She's the new voice of country, but I don't think she's the best voice of country.
No.
It's very much, I feel like I could have gone there, and if I'd have done something, you know, as best as I could, it would have been about that level. And everyone would have gone, oh, that was absolutely wonderful. They do have two jets as well this time round, which I presume are hanging around Florida in case anyone is seen wearing a mask on public transport. Then take them out. Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, was backstage as well. He was enjoying the show, presumably also unmasked. But they go into those credits, and those credits are exactly the same as the ones from the night before. So you have a slight bit where they're talking about We're Back, and they show some clips of the previous night.
Yeah.
And with crowds who are not from the previous night. The crowds are very much from the previous 2 years ago, where they're really, really cheering and really excited. And you just for one moment go, oh, I'm glad we're not still stuck in this Pirates of the Caribbean. And then it kicks in, word for word, bigger than the history of history. Is that the best copy we've got?
Hello there. So fuck off.
Oh, as the kids... fuck off!
As the kids.
Fuck off!
As the kids.
We're going to drop some real... Shut up! The fact that this is one of the worst openings they've ever had on a major show, and it gets played again the previous year. It gets played three times to kick off WrestleManias. The fact that they didn't look at it and just go, actually, do you know what? This is a perfect opportunity to scrap the whole thing.
How much did they spend on this? I just a bit of dress up for the wrestlers and that man's...
But the CGI bits are quite good.
Right.
It's just that voiceover. Just the voiceover going, oh, if you like this, it's actually shit.
Yeah.
You know,
Rufus Hound guy, yeah.
Yeah, the Rufus Hound man. Again, it's not Rufus Hound. It's not a term of like abuse to say it's a Rufus Hound voiceover.
It sounds like Rufus Hound being shit, and Rufus Hound is rarely shit.
Exactly. But it is shit. Make that clear. So we've got the opening mess out of the way. And here, Peter, we fucking go.
Here we go, Mark.
It's match number one. It's Randy Orton, the Viper.
The Viper.
Versus the Fiend.
The Fiend.
The bag of shit.
With Alexa Bliss just dicking about.
Oh, isn't it? Opens up CGI.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is going to be exciting, isn't it? A big sandy diarrhea shit coloured snake
yes.
that wobbles about. Out comes Randy Orton for the first time in his career wearing white trunks.
Right.
Never done that before.
He's given up. This is his.
It looks like he made a mistake, didn't it? And he's had to borrow somebody else's kit. And, you know, they're hoping no one will notice that on the back it says, I don't know, Lance Cade. Exactly, a macho man. Out he comes. He's slapping his inner arm because he's got a thing that says in his veins.
Right,
which is
okay.
Like the poison that the Atlas snake, but he's basically going, also means heroin.
Yeah.
Also
means heroin. Yeah.
Yep. He does a little a bit where he's on the ramp on the way down. He goes, oh, did I slip? And he looks down like the floor's slippy.
Right.
And he's known for being one of the guys who follows like the internet wrestling stuff online.
Yes.
So I think people do sort of think it was him sort of taking the piss out of Mandy Rose.
Right.
Like, aha, a lady fell over yesterday. Now I'm pretending to do it. Randy Orton, I mean, for all of his faults, he's been around for a very, very long time. I think he's better as he's got older.
Mm.
He is the last person on Earth who I think wants to be in this sort of storyline.
Yeah.
I don't think he enjoys anything to do with this. Basically, he's been haunted. He has been haunted by the man that he set fire to and killed, tried to kill, murder. And he's now sunk into hell to feel the pain or some shit. It makes no sense at all. We have seen Randy Orton commit some of the greatest atrocities in WWE history.
Greatest
commentator
atrocities.
Too strong. Pull it back. What's he done? He's done like a punt someone in a wrestling ring.
Mm.
It's not an atrocity. unless there's bits that I've missed, like, you know, where he's just been wielding a gun in a supermarket. This is a very, very long intro, and by the time we finally get to the 15-minute mark, we're just starting this recap video.
Yes, okay.
That everything we've talked about up to this point has taken 15 minutes. And I know, if you look at your podcast thing, this has taken exactly 15 minutes as well.
But we're not making millions out of this.
Exactly, and we're not here to entertain. We want to make that very clear.
He's burned the fiend. So the fiend is burned. The burn is fiended.
At TLC, he set fire to the fiend.
Yeah,
that's right.
And so now he looks like a turd swamp thing kind of monstrosity.
A big bag of wet shit.
Big bag of wet shit.
Sticks if they were been up the bum of a sex offender. The mind games, Pete, have started, you see.
Right.
So he's set fire to him, but then, oh my God, the mind games.
Mm.
What do we know about mind games?
They're rubbish.
We don't know what we're talking about. So what's basically happened is since the fiend has been set on fire, Alexa Bliss has become a tiny satanic schoolgirl, a sort of Lolita who has black stuff come out of her mouth, can make black stuff come out of Randy Orton's mouth, and is basically taking what was a very popular and charismatic performer and making her into something which, if people still you're watching, would get you between 3 and 8 years in prison. It's a really unwholesome, I'm a grown woman playing a dead child.
I don't even dislike it
because it's sort of a bit pervy and would seem to appeal to people who are wrong-uns.
Yeah.
I hate it because it's boring.
Yes.
And it won't stop. And everybody involved with it seems to think it's much cleverer and more interesting than it is.
Yeah.
If instead of making her like a Lolita corpse girl,
they'd
have just gone, she's a massive pink ball, right?
That's a big testicle.
If everyone just went, the big testicle Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Alexa Testiculus is... I think it's a bit it's crap.
Yeah.
And WWE were like, well, someone doesn't understand it. I think it is fair to say that bits that you dislike are shit.
Yeah.
Because this is shit.
Mm.
And there will be people who go, no, but the long term, no.
You're not having that.
Don't want to hear it. At the Fastlane pay-per-view, where I think Randy Orton had a match against Alexa Bliss, a hand came out of the canvas and it grabbed Randy Orton's leg, and it turned out that was then the wet shit incarnation of the fiend. And the best bit about all that is obviously it then attacks Randy Orton,
the wrestler.
It attacks Randy Orton, and Alexa Bliss then pinned him by sitting on his groin. So she was straddling him, basically. And this is one of those bits that I absolutely adore, which is everyone sort of goes, oh, well, this is supposed to be a weird sexual sort of thing. Like, she's innocent, doesn't know what she's doing, or whatever it fucking is.
Yeah.
The only person on earth who really reacted to it badly was Randy Orton's wife, Kim.
Oh, no, really?
And Kim did, she's known for doing quite sort of big tweets where she gets annoyed on behalf of her husband.
Yeah.
She was, I believe how they met was she was a fan who turned up to a WWE event having had a dream that she would meet and marry the wrestler Randy Orton.
Look, you can't argue with destiny, and neither can Randy. Randy.
Kim sees Alexa Bliss pinning her husband at Fastlane by straddling him, and she wrote a quite strongly worded tweet just saying, we have a very fucking serious problem. She used so many swear words that it was clear it wasn't part of an angle. This was just genuinely a wife being furious. Randy Orton then did a tweet that sort of followed up that was basically like, look, I don't think my wife is particularly a Alexa Bliss fan. And it's just really funny when something sort of that is so badly thought out then begins annoying people in real life. Just magic.
She shouldn't be annoyed about that. She should be annoyed how boring it all is.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
The When we come to this bit, we have the Fiend. He is in wet shit mode. He goes through a sort of a corridor tunnel.
Oh, Mark, this is my favourite bit. It's this kind of LED tunnel, I think.
Yeah, where can, which don't use any other part.
No, it just looks like a cutscene in like a Silent Hill, like a bad Silent Hill game, but released for the Game Boy Advance, because they have him walking in a very specific way, presumably, because they've got to cut it together.
Yeah.
They have him, the wet shit version of the Fiend walking towards the camera, but like in an isometric view, which makes it look more like a video game. And then halfway through, the augmented reality kind of shows up, and he all of his burns are removed.
That's right.
And now he's only half as hideous as he was before.
But yeah.
And the effects are fucking atrocious. It looks like Instagram filter quality. Terrible.
Abominable. And it would be pretty much the equivalent of sort of going, walk towards me, stop.
Yes.
I'll stop the camera. Now you throw this smoke bomb, click, click, you know, I'll start the camera. It's so ineptly done. There's also this thing about, they had portrayed on Twitter, Bray Wyatt had sort of put a picture of a chrysalis.
Mm.
So they've got this idea that, oh yes, okay, so it's going to be like a butterfly. It's going to be the next life stage of the Fiend. Looked largely the same, you know.
But
there was that whole thing of just going on, here he is, and he looks like this now. The worst thing about that is when he comes out for this match, he's slightly differently dressed.
Yes.
So he doesn't look the same as what he was when they filmed that. Then they were like, oh, we'll make some changes as well. The first person
terrible stuff.
Yeah. They then have the Let Me In comes up on this big screen.
Now, is that the big screen? Or I thought it was like drones or something. I thought it was drones, you know.
Oh, now they do talk about this WrestleMania being the first one to have a drone light show.
Right. Now, I think it's that. So it's the drone. So I think they're sort of going, that was shit. We're going to have to push the boat out.
Right.
Push the drones out. And use, 50 drones flying in the air with lights on them.
I don't want to say it was a waste of time, but when I saw that, I went, that's the screen.
They didn't make it clear that it was drones, did they?
Not at all.
They didn't make it clear.
I love the phrase, let me in, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good, like, sinister, it just works.
Yeah.
Let me in, you know. And we've talked about this because of the WrestleMania match with John Cena last year, about, you let the Fiend in through, breaking someone down, through the mind games.
The mind games.
Randy Orton, throughout all of this, by the way, is worth saying, he has no particular interest in anything.
No, he's not.
Done.
He's just standing.
He's not
around.
Freaked out.
No,
he's not. He's not going. They've really broken him down or anything. It's just like, okay, well, once this is over, we'll have a match. Randy Orton doesn't seem bothered about this in the slightest, and that makes me like him a bit more.
Yeah.
Bliss comes out first. She's coming out in a little dress. She's 4 years old. She's 400 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She's very, very sexy woman. She's a very unsexy
innocent,
child.
Yeah, yeah.
She's a part of the worst thing that WWE have done. She's a part of the worst thing that WWE have ever done. The commentators all stop speaking as well, and this is a stupid decision.
The mixing is dreadful anyway, and the commentators give nothing. They think we have to give this the majesty it deserves.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, it doesn't fucking deserve any of it.
Not at all. And their big thing is we are so awed and scared that we are just going to... Words fail us. Well, in that case, we need new commentators. Because the point of your job is to use the words.
And you shouldn't be astonished by any of this. It's awful.
They also lie. And there is something terrible about having a commentary team who is the voice, if you like, the official voice, who are lying to the audience. And that comes when Alexa Bliss comes down. The cameras reveal at the side of the ring is a giant jack-in-the-box.
Yes.
And when the camera shot finally shows Alexa Bliss gets to the ring where the box is, the commentators go, my God, I've just noticed that. They're like, what is that? And it's like, you saw that. Don't tell me it just appeared out of nowhere as Alexa Bliss got there. We know it was placed there. There is no reason why they didn't show you that shot once that you come back from the video.
Yes.
And instead you've got people just going, wow, I don't know how that happened. And then you might as well just not show the ring and just go, that was the best match of all time. Wow, take our word for it. We're not lying. Alexa Bliss begins turning the handle.
Yes.
Gets to a certain bit. Mm. No one's told her you have to slightly lift it.
Left it, yeah.
So it's a bit of an uneven move.
Poorly done. Poorly engineered.
Poorly done.
Yep.
And out pops the Fiend.
Hello
there,
hello,
everybody.
I'm the Fiend.
Hello. I've come back and I'm nice now. And I ain't going to fight. And so that would be better than what is about to happen. It's really funny how, by any other standards, this would seem like an iconic WrestleMania entrance.
Yes.
You know? The Fiend came out of a Jack in the Box, you know, a giant Jack in the Box. And it was, and actually what happens is everyone in the stadium has seen the slow progress by 100 workers of a giant Jack in the Box down there. And it's obvious he's going to come out of the top of it.
It's not as good as King on a Camel at SummerSlam.
No! Whatever it was. They should have had the Fiend come out on a monster. They should have made a monster in a lab and have him come out riding that, you know. And it could have just like bounced into the crowd and just attacked kids and shit. It would have been fucking brilliant. And instead, what we get is he jumps off of the Jack in the Box into Randy Orton. And after 22 minutes of WrestleMania, Pete, they finally start their wrestling match. If this is wrestling. I mean,
it's three or four moves and then just it ends.
It's red, Pete, as well.
It's red. They put the red light
back
on. They
put the red on. The red is so bad as well, because when you watch it back, it really bleaches out Randy Orton. Yes. So you can't make out any of his features. He's just a sort of like a ready breck sort of outline of a man with a white core, a boiling hot white core. I feel for them in that they can't go back and go, that was the wrong decision, but here is the match, you know, without this stupid effect on it. That is ruined for good. Yeah. That is a ruined WrestleMania match.
So the red wasn't put in post. It was
The worst thing about the red light is it's not that everything goes red. It's that a lot of the blues and whites become really dazzling. And so it just looks, again, if you'd have gone out and filmed an interview with someone and you'd come back with that and it was like that, you'd go, oh, it's absolutely ruined. And people go, yeah, we can't use that now. You must have left some kind of lens thing and all the lights got in and ruined
it. Yes, you've got the wrong like AV filter on the front of your lens.
Yeah, and then here, it's like, no, that's how we wanted it. You wanted it like that.
You look like one of the composite cables come out.
Yeah, exactly. It looks bad.
Your scart's fucked, right?
Wiggle it back in. You get a non-match here. You know, the Fiend is about to win, but then suddenly fire goes off on the turnbuckles. Alexa Bliss suddenly begins bleeding a load of black shit.
Yeah, pumped from her headband.
Yeah, from a little tiara thing that she's never worn before or since.
Yeah, I know, that's what I mean.
Just put
she's
these...
badly done.
What it suggests is that no one, even a week out, was thinking, and then she can have this black stuff. You know, because when they come up with the black stuff, if you went, why? What does it signify and what is it?
Why is the Fiend distracted? Presumably this for the Fiend's seen it before.
Yeah.
What's that about?
What does it mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
It just comes out of her head. The Fiend looks at her and then Randy Orton gives him an RKO. Alexa Bliss doesn't react in any way to this. Randy Orton gets his music played for a short while and he fucks off as quickly as he can, wiping his hands.
It's such a kind of... Yeah, that's the thing. It's such a kind of... orchestrated set up. They had to do a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts, all that business. And yet, that's how it ended. And that's how it was. It's just like, very weird.
There is no thought beyond going, oh, it'd be cool if it came out of a thing. And then like, oh, just as it's going like that way, Alexa Bliss, the black comes down.
Yeah.
And then the Fiend is like, buh-buh. And then, you know, Randy hits him with the RKO.
At least have the commentators fill it in.
Yeah.
The exposition in wrestling is so fucking deep with like VTs and stuff like that. We know precisely why we're in that situation. But have the commentators go, well, of course, you know, he's transfixed by the black ooze.
The black ooze.
Give us something.
You need to know what the black ooze is. What is it? It doesn't, you know, if you're just going to go Alexa Bliss, you know, she sheds this black ooze.
Yeah.
Well, how does that progress anything in wrestling?
And someone shoots a fireball at one point, and I'm like, what? How does that? They're shooting fireballs now. Is that allowed?
It's just mad. We then get is we go back to the commentators after this. I think it's Saxton, what's his name? Byron Saxton. Who just says, can someone tell me what just happened?
Namaste. I'm so horny now, and I don't know why.
And Michael Cole just says,
coming out my willy.
Michael Cole says, I have no earthly idea. No earthly, earthly idea.
That's his only line he's been given. That's the only stuff he's been given.
Just being able to just go, do you know what? If you didn't understand that, it's because it's right. Damned in some way. It's from...
it's the writers what did it.
It's from the hell. this match got my negative one stars by the Wrestling Observer.
Oh, did it really? So they didn't like it either, right? Okay.
I mean, no. Do you know what? Nobody likes this match. Nobody likes it. Wyatt was actually, until the day, slated to win. Which would make more sense. He's been away for a long time.
Mm.
You don't come back with a sort of new gimmick and then just immediately lose.
Yeah.
There was talk at the time that
they made
the
headgear though, didn't they? They made our headgear.
That's it. There was talk at the time that Bray Wyatt wasn't mentally in a particularly good place, and these were just rumors, but it obviously was related to the death of Brody Lee.
Yes.
Who had been obviously a part of the Wyatt family as Luke Harper, and. They were very, very close. Mm. And there was talk even that this fiend wasn't Bray Wyatt, but it was actually his brother who wrestled as Bo Dallas.
Right.
Because he'd lost a fair bit of timber.
Yeah.
People later sort of went, no, that you check the tattoos. He's the right guy. Yeah. But the very fact that there was all this sort of conspiracy theory, if you like, revolving around this match. Mm. And what it talks about is because it was such a disaster, people began saying there must be something going on behind the scenes that has led to all these bad decisions being made. And I think that is letting the WWE creative off the hook.
Off the hook, yeah.
Because
do you reckon they just sort of went, look, we're going to either use the death of his friend as a thing, like we did a lot of times during the past, or you can have this weird black blood stuff.
Do you know what I think it is? I think they were always at the point of just going, this is so big and the fans like it. So if we keep it going down this, more and more people will like it even more. And what they were doing was taking it further and further away from something that people enjoyed. That thing about just going, well, if that was good, then this will be great.
Yeah.
Without really thinking what it is. None of this made sense at any point. They set fire to Bray Wyatt and he died and then he came back as a pupa.
Mm.
Well, this is, in wrestling, the problem is you have to have boundaries. Otherwise, you just go, do you know what? This wrestler, if you do a move to him, you lose.
Yeah.
And you're just like, well, why is that? If he's in a Boston Crab, actually all the pain goes up your back. Well, then nothing is off the, you know, I think I mentioned it in the newsletter, but, you know, with this Bray Wyatt, you set fire to him and he dies, but he's not dead because he's from hell or wherever. You're just a minute away from going, our new tag team champions are a dinosaur on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
You know, there's, you know, it's a drawing of the tag team belts. And that drawing is the tag team champion because it's got a belt around the drawing of the belt. You know, as soon as you just lose your way and the thread gets away from you, then if anything is possible, then nothing is watchable.
Yeah.
That's basically the point. You have to. The other thing is,
where's Bray Wyatt gone? He's gone to space. Gone to space now.
He's gone to space.
Did you get rid of them? Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Because of what we did.
You know, and now it's not called WWE anymore. It's called The Fiend We. Right, and everyone gets sent wee in the post. There's nothing that can't, if you, you know, too
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
It's like taking bad fucking acid. And I don't mean as in going, oh, it's amazing, there's this like demon wrestling a man. You know,
boring acid. It's the acid trip dreamt up by an accountant.
It really is, isn't it? You know, and you just, you know, the tag team titles are now held by the tag team titles.
Mm.
Oh, wow. People really love that shit. No, they won't. They won't. They won't. this is just on a little trivia note. It's also the third WrestleMania in a row that Alexa Bliss basically opens the event.
Right.
So she was the first woman to host the show at WrestleMania 35. So she came out in a little suit. At WrestleMania 36, she was the first woman to have an opening match at WrestleMania when she and Nikki Cross met. They teamed up to face someone for the tag team titles. I can't remember who, Pete. Please don't ask me. And then at WrestleMania 37, she's in this match where she comes out. A lot of the little trivia stats and things that I read online, a lot of people are like, she came out first. I don't think she does. I think Randy Orton comes out first. But, you know, look, it's still... It's not great trivia anyway.
No, exactly.
So,
it's what happens.
Who cares if it's right or wrong, you know? She is still stuck, even though Bray Wyatt was released in July. A surprise release, you know, from WWE. She is still in the character of...
The Fiend's friend.
Yeah, the Fiendette. And, I mean, they just need to wrap this up now.
Yeah. It's, wrap it up, Alexa. Come on.
Stop being dead.
Stop
and just go back to being alive. That's, you know, that. Come on.
Get more pink in your hair, please.
If Jesus can do it, so too can the much prettier Alexa Bliss. I should stress as well, she has other great attributes. She's not just pretty. I don't know about Jesus. I think he had other attributes as well.
Well, again, but it was all very much on reports at the time. Yeah. We didn't see him, did we?
No. I would like to see, if they are going to bring the Fiend back, I would like them to also bring Jesus.
Versus Jesus.
Fiend versus Jesus. Yeah. I think that would be good. And it would be great if the Fiend won and humanity was enslaved for eternity. That's what I want for Christmas. Look, that is the first match, the worst match of WrestleMania 37.
Day two.
Night two, yeah. And look, we're just inching towards the grave here.
Inching towards the grave.
Inching towards
like
it.
Taker.
Yeah, but if you do want to hear a little bit of life yet, you can go over to our Patreon.
Yes.
Where you can hear us talking about all manner of things. For the ECW. First time, we'll be tackling ECW. Right from the very start.
It's dirty, isn't it?
Oh,
that's one dirty show.
People will be like, oh, you're doing ECW, so from the very start, what, the barely legal 1997 pay-per-view? No, man.
We gone way back, baby.
We go back to start. You come with us.
Like they've only filmed half the fucking show, it seems.
We go back to when they used to record all of their shows on C90 audio cassette somehow, and then they play it out. So if you would like that, do get down to the Patreon. And if you want a t-shirt to cover up your hairy chest.
Or burn chest if you are a wrestler who's been burned by a man.
Then you can get over to the excellent stackmerch.com. You will find a number of delightful and delicious and legally untroubling t-shirts available there. So look, that's it. Part one, in the books.
Yep.
Part two, that's coming next week. Part three, week after. Who knows if there'll be a part four? Depends how much we chat.
Resume Mark.
Resume Pete.
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.